Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on D-Plex. The content in this episode, which focuses on AI-based court decision analysis and IP law, comes from Till Boosman Welsh.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into, well, a really fascinating topic, AI-based court decision analysis. And this isn't just about the tech itself. It's more about how this kind of groundbreaking innovation is shaking up a field that's, let's be honest, traditionally pretty conservative law.
Absolutely. It's a big deal.
We're going to unpack the journey and, you know, the insights from a real pioneer here, Till Martin Boosman Welsh, based on a summary of a recent interview with him.
Yeah, and what we're diving into, it's really significant when you look at the broader picture of information analysis today. I mean, this work tackles some critical challenges.
Like what exactly?
Well, think about mixing huge data sets with AI. There's this urgent need for accuracy, for trustworthiness. That's what we'll explore, looking at the insights from that interview summary. Till Martin's work in Germany and Europe is genuinely groundbreaking in this space.
Right. So our mission today is simple. Pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge from that summary for you, our listener. Give you a shortcut to really understanding this complex but honestly vital area.
And hopefully make it engaging too.
Exactly. We promise some surprising facts and a discussion that hopefully makes seemingly dense stuff feel accessible. So let's get started.
Okay,
let's unpack this. Starting with Till Martin Boosman Welsh's origin story, how did he even get into this pretty unique field of intellectual property law, IP?
Well, the summary places his journey starting around 2015.
Right, 2015. Yeah. That was during what he calls the second wave of legal tech.
Yeah, exactly. This was, you know, before everyone was talking about generative AI like we are now. Back then, it was mostly about rule-based systems.
Trying to automate specific things.
Pretty much, automating specific legal processes.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the summary mentions this anxiety back then. These articles predicting the end of lawyers.
Oh, yeah. I remember that kind of talk even before the latest AI wave. Bit of a bullshit bingo feel, as he apparently called it.
But Till Martin made a really key decision then. Instead of, you know, running away from law because of the tech,
he decided to dive in.
Exactly. To be right on the forefront of this whole development.
And that led him to academia, right? His PhD.
It did. And this is fascinating. He focused his PhD on judge behavior analytics, specifically looking at external factors, things outside the core legal arguments that might influence how judges behave or decide.
External factors, like what?
Well, the summary doesn't detail them, but you can imagine things like maybe time of day, caseload, potentially even political climate, though that's often sensitive. The point is, this was a hot topic in places like the U.S., Russia, China.
But not so much in Germany or Europe.
Surprisingly unexplored there, yeah.
Yeah.
For various reasons, apparently. But doing this kind of research, looking for hidden patterns, uncovering influences in human decisions.
That laid the groundwork.
Perfectly. It really highlights how powerful structured data analysis can be, even when you're looking at something as complex and, well, human as judicial decisions.
And it was that research, that PhD work, that sparked the big idea.
That's what the summary suggests. The idea for a database, a powerful one designed to analyze judicial decisions.
So lawyers could ask it practical stuff.
Exactly. Like, how often does this judge decide this way? What arguments pop up again and again in similar cases? And crucially, which cases tend to succeed and which fail based on past data? That was the seed for what came next.
Okay, so that seed starts to grow into a company in 2021, but it wasn't called Anita at first, was it?
No. The initial name, according to the summary, was Your Crowd.
Your Crowd. Why that name?
It came directly from a major hurdle they hit immediately. Data scarcity.
Ah, right. You mentioned court decisions are a rare data source.
Extremely rare in the public domain. The summary says only about 1% are actually made public. 1%.
Wow. Okay. So how do you build an analysis tool with so little public data?
Well, their plan was twofold. Use the limited public stuff, yes. But also, and this was key, leverage data contributed directly by law firms.
Ah, the crowd in your crowd. Crowdsourcing legal data.
Exactly. Building this essential data pool together.
But then things shifted pretty dramatically at the end of 2022.
Yeah, the Gen AI moment happened. large language models, generative AI as we know it now, just exploded onto the scene.
And that made them rethink things.
It did. It prompted them to really consider which legal field would be, maybe, the most adaptable, the most ready for this kind of huge technological leap.
Which brings up a point from the original interview summary, right? Are IP lawyers really that open to new tech? Some people see them as quite conservative.
That's the perception sometimes, yeah. But if you compare IP law to other areas, say M&A.
Mergers and acquisitions.
Right. IP law is constantly dealing with new technologies. That's its bread and butter, patent law, design law, copyrights for new software. Mm. It's all about innovation.
So the argument is they're inherently closer to tech.
Arguably, yes. Within the generally conservative legal world, IP tends to be the field that's, let's say, most open, or at least has the strongest tendency towards openness and adapting. They handle innovation daily, so maybe they're more receptive to using it in their own work.
Okay, that makes sense. So they pivot towards IP and decide they need a new name. Your crowd was too complex.
Apparently so. For branding, for trademarking, just a bit clunky.
And they landed on Anita. Why Anita?
It's actually a really nice historical nod. The summary explains it refers to Anita Augsburg.
Anita Augsburg?
Rings a bell. She's the first woman in Germany to get a PhD in law. Though, interestingly, she had to go to Switzerland to actually earn it at the time.
Wow, okay. That's a great story behind the name. Plus, it's easy to spell, easy to recognize.
Much simpler than your crowd, yeah.
Yeah.
And carries that symbolic weight.
So let's clarify. What is Anita today? What does this platform actually do?
Okay, basically, it's a platform offering legal analytics and data analysis, specifically tailored for law.
Answering those questions we talked about earlier, how often a court decided a certain way with certain arguments.
Exactly. But it goes further. You can interact with it using natural language, just ask it questions. And importantly, it can generate texts like research summaries or parts of briefs, complete with footnote references.
Footnote references that are verified.
That's the crucial part, which we'll definitely get into. Mm. It aims to automate a lot of that research legwork for lawyers, but reliably.
Okay, that sounds powerful. Which brings us to what makes Anita, well, really stand out. Because you hear a lot about AI tools that are just, you know, thin wrappers.
Right. Just putting a slightly nicer interface on top of a general large language model like GPT without much unique tech underneath.
But the interview summary makes it clear Anita is not that.
Definitely not. They're tackling a fundamental and, frankly, quite scary problem head on.
Hey, are you an IP expert with a focus topic you want to share? Then you might be just the right fit to become an IP subject matter expert at the IP Business Academy. It's a great opportunity to build visibility for your expertise and reach new clients through a trusted academic platform. You'll be supported in creating digital content, LinkedIn strategies, and outreach to your target group. If you're ready to raise your profile and position yourself as a thought leader, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. End of advertisement.
The problem of hallucinations in large language models.
Hallucinations? We hear that term a lot with AI. What does it mean in this legal context?
Well, it means the AI basically makes stuff up. It generates information that isn't true or doesn't exist in the source data it was trained on.
So it could be small things, like misunderstanding context.
It can range from that, yeah, subtle misinterpretations, all the way up to completely fabricating sources, making up quotes, even inventing entire court cases that never happened.
Wow, okay, inventing cases sounds bad, especially for a lawyer.
Bad is an understatement. Think about it. A lawyer's entire profession rests on accuracy, on verifiable facts, on citing correct precedent. The consequences of getting that wrong are huge.
How common is this hallucination problem, really?
It's worryingly common. The summary actually cites a study, get this, showing LexisNexis, a major legal tech company, hallucinating in 30% of its AI results.
30%? 1 in 3 answers could be wrong or fabricated.
Potentially, yes. That's alarming. And it's not just theoretical. We've seen actual cases in the U.S. and apparently recently in Germany, too, where lawyers have submitted court filings citing fake decisions generated by AI.
Oh, boy. That must have ended badly.
Huge trouble. Sanctions, reputational damage. The liability is immense. And what makes it riskier, as the summary notes, is that people tend not to double check these AI outputs.
Really?
Yeah. Another study mentioned found only about 7% of people using GPT actually verify the quotes it gives them.
Only 7%.
So you have this powerful tool generating plausible-sounding nonsense, and most users aren't catching it. In a high-stakes field like law, that's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, that 30% number is really sticking with me. And the summary had a really good story illustrating this, didn't it, about discussing a book with ChatGPT.
Yes, the Marshall Phelps book anecdote,
yeah.
Burning the Ships.
Oh.
Phelps was a big deal in IP, headed up at IBM and Microsoft, so a relevant book.
So what happened?
Well, the person was discussing the book with ChatGPT. First, ChatGPT claimed it knew the book, which, you know, raises its own interesting copyright questions. But anyway,
okay.
Then they were talking about open source, and ChatGPT just confidently provided a quote about it, attributing it to Marshall Van Zandt.
Van Zandt, not Phelps.
Nope, wrong name entirely. And then, when asked for the page number for this supposed quote...
Let me guess. Crickets.
ChatGPT couldn't provide one. It waffled a bit, and eventually had to admit the quote wasn't actually in the book at all. It just made it up. Mm. Invented it on the spot.
Wow. Just created it out of thin air.
Exactly. And the summary uses this to illustrate how many LLMs act like people pleasers. They try so hard to give you an answer, the answer they think you want, that they'll invent information if they don't actually know.
That's unsettling. So how does Anita avoid this? What's their solution?
This is their core innovation, according to the summary. Their AI is described as explainable and transparent.
Explainable and transparent. What does that mean in practice?
It means they can literally follow the thought process of the model. They aren't dealing with a black box where data goes in and an answer comes out with no idea how the AI got there.
They can see the steps.
Exactly. Think of it like having a detailed map of the AI's reasoning, not just the final destination. They know exactly what's happening inside the neural network.
And how does that help with hallucinations?
Because they can see the process, they can trace the origin of every piece of information the AI uses.
Mm-hmm.
If something looks off, or if a hallucination does occur, they can track it back to the source, or lack thereof, very fast and very cheap, instantly, almost zero cost. It lets them verify everything.
Okay, that transparency sounds crucial for lawyers.
It's everything. It means lawyers can actually trust the answers they get from Anita. When the platform provides a quote, a case citation, whatever.
You can click on it?
You can click on it and instantly verify that it comes from a genuine source document, that it's real, that it's not fabricated. It prevents lawyers from unknowingly relying on made-up information and getting themselves, you know, in trouble.
So it builds a completely different level of reliability.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely non-negotiable in law.
Right. So let's bring this back to the lawyers themselves, especially in IP law. With this kind of trustworthy tool, what are the practical opportunities? How does this change their jobs?
Well, the summary touches on things like patent drafting, patent searching, areas where AI can clearly offer huge efficiencies.
Taking over the grunt work.
To some extent, yes. Automating vast amounts of research, providing incredibly specific data points and insights very quickly. But the key thing is, this doesn't diminish the lawyer's role.
It transforms it.
Exactly. It transforms it by handling the time-consuming, manual research, and crucially, doing it reliably so lawyers don't have to waste time anxiously double-checking everything.
It frees them up.
It frees them up to focus on the higher-level stuff. Strategic thinking, complex problem-solving, applying their unique legal knowledge and experience in nuanced ways. They can move beyond just finding information to really using it effectively. It elevates their practice.
That makes a lot of sense. So this deep dive has really shown how specific trustworthy AI solutions, like Anita, aren't just about making workflows a bit easier.
No, it's more fundamental.
They're genuinely enhancing reliability, enhancing efficiency in these really specialized high-stakes fields like law.
Exactly. And, you know, if you step back and think, what does this all mean beyond just law?
What are the broader implications?
Well, the principles here, explainability, verifiability, provable sources, this isn't just a legal tech issue. The kind of transparent, trustworthy AI that Anita is building, that's something nearly every industry could benefit from.
Exceptionally.
Anywhere, accuracy is critical.
Absolutely. Which leads us to maybe a final provocative thought for you, the listener, to mull over.
Go on.
If the legal world, a field often seen as, you know, resistant to change, is now demanding and actively developing AI that can prove its sources, that can virtually eliminate hallucination, what does that signal for the future of information in other critical areas? Healthcare, finance, journalism.
Right. will they start demanding the same level of verifiable AI?
And maybe more broadly, how will this push for provable accuracy challenge the kind of general purpose, people-pleasing LLMs that just try to give us an answer, whether it's right or wrong, that we encounter more and more in our daily lives?
That's a big question, a really important one.
Something to think about. We'll leave you with that thought for this deep dive.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Deeplex, please get in contact and let us know.